We're in lesson 47 in the book of Daniel. We'll be turning to Daniel chapter 8. And we left off last week in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And if you'd be turning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, turn there myself. Now we know something about 2 Thessalonians. A lot of people said that was a first book Paul wrote. And some people say Galatian is, so I'm not going to argue back and forth, but Thessalonians does talk about the catching away, okay? But we left off in talking about some things about the Antichrist, and that's going to take place over there. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God and that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, notice the expression, the son of perdition. Now, what Paul was talking about is this time period over here that we're in Daniel chapter 8. And there's going to be a guy come on the scene, and we're going to read about him, and you probably know who he is, that's going to lift himself up to be God. Now, you know there's only one God. Amen. The big G of the Bible. But you also know there's gods. And what Satan is doing, and listen, if you know anything about your Bible at all, from Genesis to Revelation, this book is about a throne over the entire universe. That's what this book is all about. And it's showing us what's going on and what's happening before, what's going to happen, and what God does in ages to come. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 says that the fullness of times, there are going to be times, okay, way over there that we don't know about yet. So we got a book and of instruction what God is doing, but look, that expression, the son of perdition. Go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Get Daniel chapter 8 and Revelation 13. That term, son of perdition. In Revelation chapter 12, in the middle of the week, you're in the middle of the week in Revelation chapter 12, okay? Right over here. And if you ever notice, a lot of people's fascinated about prophecy, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, they got books and movies and all that stuff, and your mind's thinking about prophecy. Very few people knows about the ministry program.
Yeah,
you know. So this chart we use up here is a timeline of the Bible. Now, in Revelation 13, you're told about the Antichrist. Chapter 13, verse 1. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of" what? Blasphemy. Now, when the Antichrist begins the week, he has one crown on his head. When he starts this week over here, he has one crown on him. And when he gets in the middle of the week, he has, how many did you just read?
Ten
crowns. So he's gone out and conquered and subdued the kingdoms and has dominion over the whole earth at that time. Is that happening today?
No.
Okay. And we talked about that a couple lessons ago. There's some things that has to happen before that Antichrist shows up. So he can't show up today. Okay. And you're not going to reelect him next November.
Right.
You know? He's, you know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of things going to take place. Now, verse 2. "And the beast which I saw, like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as a mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Now, who's the dragon?
Devil.
There you go. Satan. That's Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Verse 3. Chapter 13, verse 3. "And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? There's questions there, right? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things of blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now 42 months, a month 30 days, equals 1,260 days, and 3.5 years, 42 months. We've already went through a lot of that. And what has happened is that there's 3.5 years at the beginning, and 3.5 years at the end. And this is going on in the middle. Notice chapter 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to what?
Death.
The Antichrist, in the middle of the week, suffers a wound. And it's described in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 17, where the idol shepherd is wounded. We looked at those verses last time. He's known as the idol shepherd. And he suffers in the wound and is killed. And he's laid out in state for 3 days. Like having a big, you know, state funeral wake. And you know what this guy does in 3 days?
Resurrects.
He comes up. Mm-hmm. Now, wouldn't that change up a lot of people's minds and wonder, like, whoa, I'm reading about Jesus. He died in 3 days, what? He rose again. You know what the world does at this time?
Worships.
There you go. He worships them. They worship him and they wonder. And you ask about him dying. And do you know where the man of sin went when he died?
To his own place.
You know what I'm talking about? You know when Paul...
Hell.
You say hell, you know. He goes to hell, the man of sin does, his own place. But there's something about this guy when he is resurrected. And he doesn't just simply come up as the man of sin.
Not the Antichrist.
He comes up as what? The son of
perdition.
So he's no longer the man of sin, but he comes up as the son of perdition. Now, get Revelation chapter 9 and Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verse 7 says, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. The ones that are finishing their testimonies are the two witnesses that show up. Remember what they asked John the Baptist? Or they asked him if he was Elijah. Remember those two witnesses? That's the two witnesses going to be over here. The beast is the Antichrist. And where does the beast come from? Comes out of the bottomless pit. When the idol shepherd in Zechariah chapter 11 verse 17 is raised from the dead, he's not human. Okay? But he occupies a human body. So he has a human body, but the spirit that comes out of the bottomless pit. I know it seems wild, don't it? It really does. Like, this sounds like a science fiction movie or whatever. But Revelation chapter 17, verse 8 says this. Told you to get Revelation 9 too, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 17, 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. Now, he's going to come up out of the bottomless pit, and then go off in the end into perdition, which is the lake of fire. That's where he's going to end up at. And notice that the beast, the Antichrist, in the passage is riding the great whore, what he's riding, was and is not. You get that? Mm-hmm. Was, but is not. And John, who writes the book, says that he used to be on the earth. He is not on the earth right now, but he shall be on the earth in the future. You're like, what in the world's going on here? I know my Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, was, mm-hmm. but is not, mm-hmm. but yet to be. Mm-hmm. You follow me? So that's what you got to think about. Where's he coming from?
The bottomless pit.
The bottomless pit. He dies in the middle of that week, and then the spirit comes up out of that bottomless pit. Now, when he says he was, he is not, and he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Do you know anybody in the Bible that was on this earth that was called the son of perdition?
Judas.
Yeah. Okay. Was he on this earth?
Mm-hmm.
Is he here now?
No.
You think he's coming back?
It looks like it.
It looks like it. So and go to John chapter 17 and get John 6. Hold your finger in Revelation 9. John chapter, what did I say? 17? John chapter 17, verse 12. John 17, 12. When I was with them in the world, John 17, 12, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but who?
The son of perdition,
that the scriptures might be fulfilled. This Jesus is praying the Lord's Prayer here. Now, who was lost? The son of perdition. Who was lost?
Judas.
How do you know that? You can read, right? You know the Bible. Okay. Go back to John 7. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And get Acts chapter 1. Making you work this morning, guys. Can't do all your work for you.
Easton said he ran out of fingers.
John,
Mark.
Chapter 6.
Yeah, John chapter 6. Easton. This is a good way to mark.
What verse?
Just fold your pages of it. Oh, where am I at? Sorry. John chapter 6, verse 70. Jesus answered them. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a what?
The devil.
Lord Jesus Christ picked every one of them, and one of them's the devil. You wonder why he said that? He's describing who?
The Antichrist.
Not an Antichrist, but who was the devil?
Judas.
And he's saying that I chose one of you, and one of them's devil. Notice that when Judas died, the Bible doesn't say he just went to hell like everyone else does. But he went to his own place. That's where I said go to Acts chapter 1. You still got Revelation chapter 9, right? Marked somewhere.
Yep.
Acts chapter 1, verse 24. Acts chapter 1, verse 24. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. And he may take a part of the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his what?
Own place.
So Judas went to his own place. You ever wonder where that might be?
Purgatory?
And he's probably still paying for it.
Bottomless pit.
If it's not hell and it's not heaven, it's the bottomless pit. That's his own place. And there's something that was here before. He was here before. And he isn't here now. And he's going to be over there if you let the verses mean what they say. Now, Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given a key of the bottomless pit. The angel goes down and opens the bottomless pit, and out of the pit comes these demon creatures. He's letting them open. Verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon.
Abaddon.
But in the Greek tongue, his name is
Apollyon.
Apollyon. You know what those words mean? Devil. They're referring to bottomless pit. They're devils.
And interesting. Chapter 9, verse 11, like 911.
There you go, yeah.
Apollyon, like,
yeah.
I'm a bit alive.
Yeah, look, and those creatures come out of the earth, and their king comes out with them. And what you have is Satan coming out of heaven, that king, spirit coming out of the bottomless pit, and Satan gives that power to that guy. See? The body of this guy is not the issue. It's the spirit that's going into that body. Okay? That's why when you're lost, you have a spirit. Okay? And we know what Ephesians chapter 2 talks about, that spirit of disobedience. You know, we all had that spirit. We all had our conversations in time past. And that's not a good spirit to be walking around with. You know, there's some evil people out there. Mm-hmm. Their hearts are evil. Yeah. Their mind are evil. They're mental. Now, I watched the movie. Y'all, you know, don't judge me or nothing. I watched that Joker movie. Okay? If the new Joker movie. I know. I'm going to repent. But the man was mental. And you watched him how he became the Joker. If you know Batman, you know, I guess everyone. And it affected him and how he killed people. He had a bad spirit in him. But, you know, mentally, we can have a bad spirit, right? But when you're saved, you have the Spirit of God where you can really make some decisions. But this flesh gets in the way sometimes. And this flesh wants things. And we can say things and do things that, did I really want to say that? Did I really want to do that? But this guy gets a spirit from the Antichrist, but what comes out of the bottomless pit. And the Antichrist in the second half of the week becomes Satan incarnated in human flesh. See? And just like the Lord, Jesus Christ is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he is the Godhead, bodily. He is God manifested at work in the flesh. And just like the Spirit of God Almighty, he energized the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Antichrist is going to be the anti-God in the flesh. Listen, if you don't believe God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, shame on you. If you don't believe those three as a trinity, but you believe the Satan, the Antichrist, and the beast has one, you know what I'm saying? That's a trinity. Yeah. You know, that's three. And he's got three. The Lord's got three. And he's going to be the false God, the false son, and the false spirit associated all at one time. Now, I shared this with you before, and I want to share it with you again. Is Judas Iscariot the Antichrist? And so I'm a take a little detour from what we're doing, but I want to share some verses with you, and you can make your mind up if he's the one that's going to come over here be resurrected, because we just saw the verses.
It said the son, the
was
son of the fish coming out from the
bottom of the pit. He was, is not, but will be. Go to you can follow along if you want to, but the first prophecy in the Bible concerns the Antichrist is enmity between Satan and a woman.
Genesis 3:15.
Back over there. That's the enemy, enmity. The seed of woman, Jesus, will bruise the head of Satan's seed, Judas. That's prophesied. You see what excuse me. You see what Judas did. You know, the devil enter in him. Mm-hmm. You know, just like the father would into the son. And this is what happened when Judas hung himself. Satan's seed, Judas, bruised the heel of the seed of the woman, Jesus. And this happened when Judas betrayed Jesus, and they put Jesus Christ on what?
Cross.
The cross. That's Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Antichrist must be a Jew and a reprobate.
And a Syrian too? Or coming out
definitely
of Assyria.
A Syrian, yeah.
Or coming out of Assyria, right?
In Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, that would be Jewish, nor the desire of a woman, nor regard of any God, that he might magnify himself above all.
Want to get some more?
I got some
nice. If you take your coat off, preacher, you might cool off a little bit and stop talking so much.
I'm not going to get resurrected here. This old cold. But what's he going to do? If he don't have a desire of a woman, what does that tell you? He used just use a modern term.
Oh, come on, really?
He's going to be a. I believe he's going to be a homosexual. Okay, he don't have a desire of a woman. Okay.
Yeah.
Look to the reprobate. We read Romans chapter 1 a couple weeks ago. What their desire of left the natural use of a woman, that type of thing. Okay. And Judas. And Lord Jesus Christ said that I have chosen 12 apostles and one of you is a devil. We read that already, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus said Judas was the son of perdition. And the Webster definition is the loss of the soul or hope of salvation, damnation, the place of a condition, damnation is hell. So when he said you're the devil, that's where he's, you know where the devil's being, you know where he's damned to. Okay. Well, yeah, to the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we read John 17:12. When I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. They had a choice. God never violates your free will. He didn't zap you and say you're saved. Or, you know, they had a choice. Remember when Simon Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ, asked him who do you say I am? Well, some say you're Jeremy and that type of thing. And he said, no, who do you say I am? He said, you're the Messiah, Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood did not tell you this, you know, but he got a revelation from God the Father, Peter did. We always talk about Paul getting revelations. Peter got a revelation. And that's when I believe Peter was got saved, when he acknowledged Messiah, the Son of...
What caused Judas to turn?
Devil enter him.
Well, was that a choice, or was that something...
Well, he's a seed of... That's where we're getting at. He's a seed of Satan. He's going to follow his daddy.
Oh.
And, look... Paul said the man of sin was the son of perdition that we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. There's only one man in the Bible who did not go to heaven or hell, but went to his own place. We read that in Acts chapter 1 already. The Antichrist will come out of the bottomless pit, but will not be born, but be resurrected. And he must do what the Jesus did in order to, for the people to believe that he is a Christ. With me? Listen, right. This book, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, it can be scriptural, but not dispensational. All that Bible's for us, but not all of it's to you. And if you can understand what God is doing, you understand what he's not doing.
Right.
That's why it's so easy just to say, you know, this mystery stuff is good. Listen, rest in what God's doing. All this other stuff will fall into play. You need to find out what God is doing today so you understand what he's not doing. To me, that's so much easier knowing not what not to do than what to do. You can tell me, go out and do this, this, this. I'm like, but did he say not to do that? I want to know what not to do first. Because if you tell me what not to do, then all the other stuff's okay to do. You know? Technology we have today and stuff tells on us no matter what. You know, I put on Do Not Disturb on my phone, so when I'm driving, you try to text me, it says I'm driving. My boss says, I know if I text Ed, and that comes up, he's not going to answer his phone. You know, he's not going to answer his texts. And the technology we have will tell on us what not to do. That speed limit sign out there is not, don't tell you how good you are. You know that, don't you? It tells you how bad we are because we have to have speed limits sign. But Revelation chapter 17 that we read, that the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. That's Judas, guys. He was. He was not. And he's yet to be. He's not here right now. So if you think about that seed, not what that mayor says about anybody can plant a seed in the ground. This is Satan's seed, guys. We talk about sowing seeds all the time, don't we? Sowing good seeds. And Satan can control a lot of things. Now go back to Daniel chapter 8 real quick. Now Judas could be the Antichrist, whether you want, you know, that's up to you to believe that, right? You search it out. But if it's started back over in Genesis 3:15 about a seed, where'd that seed go? You think God lied back there? And by the way, Genesis 3:15 is a promise of a redeemer. That's the gospel of God, the good news that God's going to send a redeemer to redeem mankind. So, Paul talks about the gospel of the grace of God. He's going to tell you about a redeemer that redeemed all people. See, God don't lie. And God's got that plan laid out, but where did that seed go? See, Judas. Where's the seed of a woman? Hey, not to say anything ugly, you know a woman don't have a seed? You do know that, don't you?
Yeah, the man has a seed.
Yeah.
So here's a mystery for that. A woman, a seed of a woman. Wow, what's that all about? Well, who becomes the woman over here?
Yeah.
Who's the woman in your Bible?
Israel.
Israel. Oh. Israel's a woman. Gives birth to a child. And you're like, whoa. Paul talks about, you want to see something great, hold your finger, go to Galatians chapter 2 right quick. Galatians chapter 2. If I can find this. When Paul, his name was Saul, was saved on the road to Damascus, God saved him. He didn't wait till he got good enough. You know, he was a Pharisee. You know, he knew the laws. He knew everything about them. But yet he was a blasphemer. Paul says he's a blasphemer. And what did Lord Jesus Christ say up there, back in the past? If you blaspheme against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven you. Now, who was the Son of Man?
Jesus Christ.
He hung on that cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. God answered that prayer. But he said, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, and what's blaspheme mean?
Speak evil.
You will not be forgiven in this world or the world to come.
He's the exception to the rule.
He didn't say, and oh, by the way, the mystery program I'm getting ready to lay out. This world, and who blasphemed against the Holy Ghost when they stoned Stephen?
Apostle Paul.
Apostle Paul was there. So, people say, well, blaspheming is the only unpardonable sin. You ever hear that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not true. Paul was a blasphemer. So, God changes everything, reaches down and grabs Paul, the apostle, or Saul. And he says right here in verse 11, but Galatians chapter 1, sorry, Galatians chapter 1. But I certify you, brethren. Now, what's certifying mean? Many of us get certifications, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Usually a good thing. What's that?
Your faith.
Your faith, or it's like approval. You got the credentials, right? I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after
man.
Now, you can take it two or three ways. You know, you can take it denominational, religion, but I believe it has to do with Peter, Paul, and Mary. Now, just Peter...
Peter, James, John.
Thank you. And, you know, their gospel, their man, they're talking. But he says, look, for neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul got his revelation from Jesus Christ. Now, where was Jesus Christ at this time? Did Jesus Christ know, I mean, did Paul walk around with the Lord Jesus Christ? And eat with the 12?
No.
And was up in the upper room? No. He got it by the revelation. Where was the Lord Jesus Christ when Paul got saved?
In heaven.
He is in royal exile. You got to remember that. He's royalty. And they refused him. And where did they put him? He's out there. He's out in the third room of heaven right now. In royal exile. He's the glorified, risen Lord. That's a good title. And Lord, glorified, risen Lord, reached down and gave Paul the revelation from up there, not on this earth. That's why Paul says in Corinthians, know him no more after the flesh. Where did you know Jesus Christ after flesh? Very good. You wasn't there. You didn't walk there, but the only place you find out that we know him no more after flesh is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Paul tells you don't know him no more after that.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's some very good terminologies there that you need to really grasp and be able to share with other people that makes a difference in their life when it comes to Bible study. Now look. He says, for ye have heard of my conversation in times past, in the Jews' religion. Now, was he a Jew? Paul?
He was a Pharisee.
Yeah. That beyond measure I persecuted church and what?
Wasted it.
Now, where did he do that at?
Acts
chapter. You might as well write it down beside the book. 7 and 8. This is where he's prosecuted. He had threatening letters by the priests. Said, go, anybody preaching Jesus Christ and believe in Jesus Christ? He says, and profit in the Jews' religion. He's making money off of that. And many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. That's Acts chapter 9. But it pleased God. You remember what we talked about? The woman. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Immediately Paul got saved, he didn't go back to Jerusalem where Peter now was and say, hey, teach me what you know. He did not confer with flesh and blood. He was 3 years away before he came back. And you get on down to chapter 2, he's almost like 14 years later, he meets Peter and James and John. But let me ask you something. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, where was that taking place? When it pleased him to separate him from his mother's womb.
He was born.
Before he was born.
You would say before, it's like Jeremiah, you knew me in my womb and that type of thing. The mother here is Israel. He prophet in that religion. Israel's a mama here. So God separated him from his mother's womb, Israel. You with me? Yeah. So when you separate something over here to mother's seed, that's what he's talking about there. So that's a miracle in itself. Now we know, where did I say to go? Back to, I got a few more minutes. Back to Daniel chapter 8.
Don't have enough.
Oh, thank you. Daniel chapter 8. So you get that mother separated in mother's womb. Hey, we can get on this all day long about being born again. And people tell you got to be born again. You got to be born again. Nowhere in Paul's epistles does he ever tell you to be born again. It's only written in your Bible three places. John and Peter. Now, what do you know about the book of John? What
directed to the Jews.
And he's portraying, Jesus? God, okay? Okay.
I mean God.
God. What do you think about 1 Peter, 2 Peter? Who do you think that's written to?
It's to the Jews.
So why are you going to let somebody tell you you have to be born again? Because Jimmy Carter said it? It sounded good and you voted for him? No. Paul talks about you become a new creature. That's why what God is doing with the body of Christ is something brand new, guys. Brand spanking new. And when he takes you out and puts you in a body, you become a new creature, a new creation. That's a lot better than being born again. So my question is about being born again is when people say you got to be born again, and I know you probably ask them too. Seen billboards. Ye must be born again. Who is that ye he talking to?
The nation Israel.
You know ye and you. Ye look well today. And you look better. Thee and thou. How art thou? It stops. Okay. So when he says ye, he's talking in the nation Israel. Who was Nicodemus?
Pharisee.
He was a ruler of Jews. And you know, if you read the passage and believe the passage, you know Lord Jesus Christ rebukes Nicodemus.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't ye a master? You should know these things. Ooh, how would that make you feel?
Yeah, there's no way that master would know about the grace program.
No, the grace program.
Wasn't even revealed yet.
But the thing is, he's telling Nicodemus, you had the writings. You know who I am. Well, how can you be born again? When was they born the first time? Here's the question you ask people.
Egypt.
Let my firstborn. This is when they was born first. And they had to be born again to get over here.
I think that's the valley of dry bones.
Okay, all over here they had to be born again. But you and I are not born again. So, you and I don't have a mother Israel to born us. You with me? I hope y'all get that picture that you're something brand spanking new. You're a brand new seed that pops up. You know? You're not being grafted into something there. I know what Romans chapter 11 talks about, but I believe it's over here. When these Gentiles get drafted in. Grafted in. Let's go to Daniel chapter 8 real quick. I'll try to get through verse 10 for a second. Daniel 8:10. And it was great. And it waxed great. Even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host of heaven. Excuse me. Let me back up. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Now, he's talking about a supernatural creature that gained supremacy even over the heavenly host Satan, that it cast them out in the middle of the week. So there are some people up there that's going to get cast down the earth and going to get stamped on. That's Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 and 9. And come down to the wreak havoc on the earth. And you know what he does? He runs the whole bunch of them. This guy does. And he's some guy in the rest of the passage is going to talk about his career. Now you know who the Antichrist, we identify who the Antichrist is going to be. He's going to be not only a Jew, but
Assyria.
Verse 11. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of hosts, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. Now, when he talks about him magnifying himself against the prince of hosts, he's talking about Israel. And even to being the prince. And he goes in and takes over Israel. He anoints himself as the Messiah, this Antichrist does. And the Antichrist comes and says, I'm him. I'm the prince. You know, I'm the one that you've been looking for. And you know what? The daily sacrifices that is taken away is the sacrifices offered by Israel every morning and evening according to the Levitical system. And that tells you several things. Let's finish this off. Let's finish this thought. Notice in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Bear with me. I haven't seen you in a couple weeks. Your roast won't burn. But on low, right?
I don't have one.
Notice the issue of daily sacrifices here. And something else I want to share with you. You've seen pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bibles. You know, pale skin, blue eyes, pointy beard, long hair, you know. That's not what the Lord Jesus Christ looked like. When Nicodemus called him a
rabbi,
you think a rabbi has a certain look? You ever seen a real rabbi? Mm-hmm. They got a distinct look about them. Their beard's square. And they've got locks right here. And their hair's short. And they put a bowl on their head. And they cut that all the way around that bowl like that. And then you know what else they do? They take a pair of scissors and they mar it. Because there's only one perfect priest, and that's Jesus Christ. So they can't have that. So you see that, Jesus Christ?
Not really.
Okay, but when your Bible... No, right. So what I'm getting at, the pictures that you see in Bibles today and hanging on your wall at home, okay, is not the Jesus of the Bible.
Right.
He's going to look like this guy. The guy that you have hanging on your picture, I believe he's going to look exactly like that. Because people's going to say...
He looks like a picture.
Yeah, here he is. Because you know what an idol shepherd was? A picture. An image. And he's going to take that image that's burned in your mind all them years, and you're going to say, that's Jesus. And people's going to flock to him. But look, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the
consummation,
and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. There is a sacrifice, and somewhere in the first half of the 70th week, the temple worship begins again in Israel. So can that happen tomorrow?
No.
The temple's got to be built.
Yeah.
The sacrifice has got to take place. They got to find a red heifer without a blemish on it. That type of thing. And it's not in Alabama. They had a, they had, somebody said there was a red heifer on a Gentile, get this, a Gentile farmer raising a red heifer, and this Israelite's going to buy that from that Gentile. No. They're not going to touch a Gentile. You know, please. They don't, today, a real Israelite practicing Jew, if you don't mind me saying that, will not touch you. You're unclean. Sherry went to, this week, down to a Colgate factory down in Cambridge. You know what Colgate makes? Toothpaste that'll kill you. And, you know, and palm olive that will melt your hands. You know, put splits in your, I'm joking. But there's a rabbi comes in there and buys, they bless certain product, and they buy that certain product. But they're not going to buy anything else. So when you look at a bag of chips or something, you see that parvee, that means it's been blessed by a rabbi, and they can eat kosher. Yeah. But they're not going to eat sausage. And guess what I made the other morning? Sausage, gravy, and toast. Yeah. Yeah. And it stayed with me about how all day. But anyway, let me move on.
We forgive you.
I don't know. But I worked it off yesterday, believe me. And I needed it. But they again have a temple in worship. How do you know that? Because they had daily sacrifices. And there is a temple and rebuilt in Egypt, Israel. And the first house of tribulation. And we're going to find that in Daniel chapter 8, exactly how it's going to be built. So as we continue a lesson, you're learning a lot about Daniel chapter 7 and chapter 8 about the Antichrist and about what God is doing. And I hope it's helping you understand what God is not doing today. You know, and that when...
Yeah. Let's close. Be grateful that we're in
the midst. Amen. This place of grace. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.